Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Chronically Christy, Sister Sister. Today I'm going to be having a little Q&A with my sister Alex, who very much has a 7-month-old on her lap, as well as my 2 dogs roaming about the living room. So if there's any babbling, it's because the baby is trying to join in, and any barking, because the dogs are trying to join in. Okay, Al, so how old were you when I got sick, and what are your earliest memories of it all?
I was 17, just wrapping up my A-levels, I think. I actually remember you feeling unwell on the way back from a weekend in Oxford, which I think you've actually lost all of your memory of.
I have. I don't remember that trip at all.
You asked Steve to drive because your back was hurting. And then I just sort of knew you were in bed with gastroenteritis and I assumed you had a bug and you were fine. I don't recall thinking much of it, to be honest. So fast forward a little bit, although I'll tell you something funny. Mum and Dad, I think they were away, but I had dragged the treadmill or the cross trainer into the living room onto their new carpet and it had left like a big oil smear. And I spent like 2 or 3 days like panicking, scrubbing the carpet, trying to get this stain out. And I thought, wow, I am going to be in big trouble. But obviously they never even bloody noticed because dramas ensued, so we're all good. So thank you for that, Christy.
Yeah, don't remember that either.
Mum will listen to this now and be like, say what? We got to you just before you went into surgery. I think they thought you had like a cyst on your ovary or something. They had no idea that your appendix had burst. So we were so chill about your surgery because you were completely with it. You spoke to me and I was like, see you in a bit. And you went down like not happy as such, but you seemed completely fine.
Yeah, don't remember any of this either.
Yeah, so we went for lunch. I mean, we were that chill and assured that it was just... We went for lunch.
And we're nice.
No idea, I can't remember. So next thing we know, we're in the family room. Doctor, surgeon comes in and tells us that you might not make it. So that was a bit of a shock. So me being a typical millennial went to the toilet to cry alone rather than show any emotion, as you do. After that, I never said the words that you were in a coma. Like when people asked me how you were, I was like, she's still asleep. I don't know if that was like denial or just because I didn't really understand. Nobody ever used the word coma when you were in a coma. Christy was just asleep still. Which is interesting. Nicer way of putting it.
Yeah, nice long sleep.
Yeah, so I didn't have a job because obviously I was wrapping up my A-levels. Sorry about this.
Hi, baby.
A-levels as well. I got a bit of a special allowance. I didn't have to finish my IT coursework, which was another sort of...
That's a bonus.
Little highlight.
You're welcome.
So I went to the hospital every day with Mum and Dad for about six weeks or so, or however long you were in a coma. But then once you'd woken up, for some reason that reduced to like 5 out of 7. I think at that age, because you'd woken up, that sort of made me think you were going to be okay. So I remember being by your bedside and you looking at me and asking me quite sternly how old I was, because you thought several years had gone by because I'd aged.
I'd been asleep for years.
Yeah.
Not weeks. I remember that. I remember going around asking everybody how old they were.
Yeah.
Because I thought I'd been asleep for years and missed years.
You had a tracheostomy. Forgive me if I've pronounced that wrong. But it was quite aggressive. That's my earliest memories.
So do you remember me coming home?
Vaguely, yes. I remember you coming home. We had a few banners up on the wall saying welcome home. And it was really lovely. Like, Mum and Dad were really, really excited. I was obviously really happy that you were going to be at home. I think, again, naively, being an 18-year-old, I thought, you know, she's coming home from hospital. She's all right. But actually, that was quite far from the truth. But it was lovely having you home again. I think I'd got a little sort of... I think it might have been a full-time job, actually, not part-time. I decided I wasn't going to uni, so I'd got a little job at the cinema. And I think think I got a boyfriend not long after that, and sort of I wasn't at home a lot. And I think looking back, as selfish as it is, I think I kind of avoided being at home too much because, you know, tensions were high. Steve moved in with us. So, you know, we had, it's quite a full house and people were stressed, probably slightly depressed.
I still wasn't very well.
No, and I think I was home a lot, but I think, you know, I made friends at work. We'd go out for drinks. My friends from school, we'd still go out for drinks. I think getting out of the house was good for me, especially at that age. You know, looking back, I think, you know, mum and dad, like, they probably needed a bit more support from me, but I was too young to give that to them. So, you know, if mum was upset, I'd retreat to my bedroom, not give her a hug, and I'm quite sad about that really now looking back. But I spoke to her about it, and obviously she didn't expect that from me. She said she tried to give me as much space as possible just to crack on. But I took you out when I could. I recall taking you to the cinema in your wheelchair one time. And
what did we watch?
Absolutely no idea.
Can't remember.
Probably some naff Disney film. I don't know. But you had the colostomy bag.
I did.
Sorry, can you hear this one? Because he needs to cough. Sorry. And I just, you needed me to empty it partway through the film, and you were mortified. Like, you were so embarrassed. And I remember just, like, I genuinely didn't care. Like, it didn't bother me. It didn't disgust me. But you were just so disgusted.
I hated that colostomy with a passion.
And I think you hated it a little bit. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I was your little sister. Something about it, you didn't like me taking care of you. Yeah. Especially because you were still very young yourself. You were only 22 probably by this time, 21, 22. So I don't think you really liked me having to look after you, but I didn't mind.
Yeah, we very much wanted to move to New Zealand.
So if you lived in New Zealand, perhaps we wouldn't have been so close. I don't know.
It was nice in a twisted sort of way.
Yeah, I know. It's like, because obviously I would have preferred this not to have happened to you and you to live your dreams, you know? But, you know, I do think that maybe we've got a better bond.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts now this transplant of mine is failing?
Well, as you know, I would like to donate my kidney to you. In the past, we've discussed it when I was younger, and we've had conversations around it where obviously Steve donated his, and then you were very adamant that I was too young. You wanted me to start a family first. I'm sorry that it took me till the age of 35.
Don't be silly.
But I think, you know, a few years down the line, hopefully for your next one, they can look at mine, being, you know, that everything's all right on my side. Yeah, I'd like to. I mean, I know you might go on the list in the meantime.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll take the steps so that you can have mine. I just need to...
And what about all the tests? It takes about a year.
Well, at least the kids will be older. Yep. So, you know, I won't be as tired as my hip. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But, yeah, I do very much want to give you my kidney. It's just a question of when that's going to happen in a few years.
So as a close family member of somebody with a chronic illness, what does it mean to you? How does it affect you?
To be honest, your outlook on life and the way you still want to enjoy your life, I really admire that in you, because I think with what you've been through, so many people could just stay in bed all day.
Which I could if my back was better, yeah.
Hey, you got down the stairs for me today to answer
the door. I did.
So I really admire that.
But will I get back up again?
Don't know.
We'll see.
I'm really grateful for your husband, Steve, who takes care of you.
Hang on, I'm just going to go and puke in a bucket.
I know. But, like, he is really good. And, you know?
Yeah.
I begrudgingly know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love that you... I know you'd hate me to say that you're positive, because you're a bit, actually a bit of a pessimist, but with optimism at the same time. I can't explain
it.
You see the humour.
Am I a pessimistic optimist or an optimistic pessimist? One of them.
Yeah,
one of them.
You are. And like, I don't know, I think mentally you're very strong and not a lot of people would have handled it the way that you have. And I think, yeah, I admire that and I'm proud of you.
Ah, thank you.
Sorry for the soppy stuff.
Now go put the kettle on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for listening to this episode of Sister, Sister, Sister Bants. And I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next time. I'm hoping to finally have that dialysis nurse on. Yeah, so speak to you soon.